Blog Talk Radio.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sometimes she's here, you can take a break. From a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the ass, like I don't care, baby, by the way.
What my feeling on that is. So you, when I pick you up, you can call and talk to us.
You can say, hey, Bonnie, this is what I like to hear, or hey, this is my opinion on things, and then we will ask you what your question is. But feel free to just chat away about anything metaphysical that you might have or that you might do or any information that you'd like to give up. So I am so excited. I hope everyone can hear me because I'm getting some funny feedback back. But anyway, I have a great guest today. He is one of the most special, wonderful, crazy tarot readers I've ever seen. He doesn't read tarot. He actually reads playing cards. But if you watch him, he is the YouTube sensation, Minnow Pond. Minnow Pond! I'm going to pick you up in just a second. His name is Chris Reck. He does have his own business. He is a crazy card reader, and I absolutely love him. He has a million other gifts, and it is my pleasure. And actually, before I pick him up, I do want to tell you that if you like my show on Blog Talk, please subscribe so you get my shows. They're kind of all over the place right now. And leave me some messages on my email, which is balbers714@aol.com, or go to my webpage, bonniealbersonair.com, and go into the comments section and leave me some comments. We all do this as a living, so you can find me for readings or intuitive counseling, which is my best and wonderful thing to do for you, and my guests too. So I'm going to pick up Chris, and he is going to say hello and tell you about all his fabulous, wonderful gifts and what he offers you too. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Bonnie.
How are you?
I am well. How are you?
Well, you know, I've only been talking to you for, what, the last day or so?
Right,
so,
yep.
And whenever I have inquiries, I talk to you. So I'm so excited. I'm so excited that I have you on. And again, I want you to tell everybody, you go by the name Minnow Pond, which people have asked me. It's pretty interesting. And you are a YouTube sensation. So tell us about your YouTube channel and why you picked the word Minnow Pond.
Well, the Minnow Pond thing actually kind of happened by accident. I had Minnow Pond created for another business, but that business actually did not work out. But I loved the logo that my designer created so much that I ended up using it for my YouTube channel. But I am also a Pisces, so it is, you know, kind of fitting because there are two fish in the logo. But on the YouTube channel, I just do, you know, videos. I do weekly and monthly readings. And every once in a while, I do other videos just talking about, you know, reading in general and things that are going on in general, like general energies and things like that.
Well, you know what, Chris? I love watching them. I get inspired by them. You're very grounded, even though you're a Pisces. I mean, and Pisces is the old man of the zodiac, which is really cool because you remind me of such, and I think we went through this, you're such an old ancient soul of wisdom and wizardry and all kinds of things I can tell you about, but you are really, for your age, and you're very young, one of the oldest souls. You can see it in your eyes, you can feel it in your reading, and I'd love everybody to go and subscribe to your channel because I watch it, and you know, there's a very few, I have limited time, there's few people that I do, most of the people on the show that have YouTube channels, I do try to get on there, but yours I check all the time. So everyone, please go to Minnow Pond. Remember, he's a Pisces, so if you forget his name, you'll see a pond with two fish in it. You can also think that was a Gemini, but it's really a Pisces. So I think only reason I say Gemini, because they're two twins, is I always think of two. So I'm so happy to have you on. So you do read playing cards, which is a little unusual. I don't know very many people. Kelly reads playing cards, and Kelly is one of the only ones. She reads the Atlantean life and birth cards. She reads them different than you. But you use playing cards, and I love that. Can you tell us? I know how you got started, but you know, give the audience a little tidbit about why you picked them up and how you work with them.
Yeah, sure. I mean, basically the story is, to make a long story short, I had a severe skin condition on my hands. And, you know, my mom actually got me into doing Reiki at first to kind of, because she thought I had built up, you know, too much energy in my hands and it was causing this this energy thing in my hands, giving me this, like, condition. And that worked a little bit. But I've always had very busy hands, and you know.
Well, you better not tell the girls that, because that's not nice to tell them.
Exactly. I always had playing cards around, and I would always play with them. And then kind of one day I heard on a radio show a guy actually reading playing cards, and you know, that then I was like, I was playing with them at the time, and then I just started, you know, doing it from there. And that's pretty much the only reason I did it. Plus, it was, you know, it was attractive because it was different. Nobody really, you know, very few people do it now. So, you know, it's kind of like a loser art.
Yeah, and you don't really read the – you use the cards as inspiration, correct?
Yeah, I don't really – I mean, it's hard to describe, but I don't really use the cards. You know, I just use them – they kind of ground the message for me, or half the time they just confirm what I'm already going to say. So it just makes it a little bit, you know, easier, and kind of can ground the message a little bit. Or if there's something I forget, that will come up as well.
Well, you know what? That would mean that you're very psychic and intuitive, Chris, which I love.
Yes.
But let me ask you a question, and I want you to tell everybody other gifts that you have. But does it run in the family?
I'm sorry?
Does it run in the family?
Yeah, I mean, my mom is very, I mean, she's very intuitive as well. My dad, he probably won't admit it, but he is extremely, you know, he's definitely extremely sensitive. In that he can, you know, I think he can pick up on people a lot, but like I said, he won't, you know, I don't think he would admit that.
Yeah, you know what, you know, I got to tell you what a lot of the guys did, and, you know, being that I do counseling, I know they'll say something like, oh, I can judge a person in the first three words. And usually you can tell, because you don't want somebody to judge somebody like that, but usually what they're meaning is exactly like what you're saying. They feel that person. They feel the energies of the person, and they can size them up. Really, it's intuitive. It's really, it's super psychic. But that's how I think men who aren't dealing with or not in touch with their feminine side, which is the side of reading, intuition, and all that, that's, I think, how they usually are guided, you know, to tell people. So I agree with you. I think that both your parents, because you're just so psychic. It's interesting. I wonder, and we'll find out maybe Tuesday, how far back this goes for you, because I feel like the lineage is quite long.
Right. Yep. I mean,
No, go ahead. You know.
All I was going to say is, you know, I mean, you know, I am young, but I don't know most of my, I actually don't know most of my family, so I have no, you know, clue beyond, you know, what my parents really.
Right, and I do, because, see, I see, and I can feel that lineage, and it's just gone way back. So I'm going to be interested. I've got a guest coming Tuesday I think I told you about, and I do want you to call. I'll let everybody know who's coming at the end of the show, but I am so super excited that you have the gifts that you do, and that I was able to, you know, spirit led me to you. I know we don't want to go through all of the cards, because that takes a long time, and you have a lot of people that are waiting to talk to you. But can you please tell me, and everyone listening, because, you know, I'm so ADD, I can't remember. I love, except that I'm scared of Jack. But let's go through how you read a little bit about your cards, and what they mean to you, each suit, and the and what I would call the court card. And so let's start with the court card.
Yeah, sure. The court cards.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to me, but I mean, let's start with Jacks. Jacks are all usually younger people in your life, and then of course, I mean, we'll get into the suits, but the suits kind of change the message there. And sometimes the Jacks can also be admirers, people who are interested, like, in you if you're single or something like that. But sometimes the way I read is I read the court cards as just energies that are around you that you have access to and things like that. So in that case, I mean, if that was what I was picking up on for somebody, the Jack, I would say, is definitely, you know, an energy of having just learned a lot and still kind of being young at something. And not being like 100% on what you're doing, but it's like you're kind of like going somewhere in a lot of ways. And that's not true for all the Jack suits, but in general it can be very true depending on what other cards are also I'm laying down there. Mm-hmm. So that's the Jack.
Okay, and how about the Queen? Well, I'll go through it with you.
Sure.
You know what? Go ahead. And let's do the, well, you go ahead because I can talk. You know me, I'm a hawk. But because
Right.
there is other things that I know you want to talk about. But I got to tell you something and why I say that about the Jacks. And Kelly, you will talk to. But Kelly used to say there was one Jack in there that was like the liar and the cheat card. And I always remember that card because I'm thinking if that ever comes up, but you don't read it like that. But just that's why I'm always afraid of that Jack card, the one that comes up. But go
Yeah.
ahead.
The queens are usually women, although, like I say, I don't attach sex to my cards. I mean, I read for plenty of men, and plenty of them come up as a queen, which really is just, again, for me, it's mostly just an energy that is surrounding them. Sometimes I, say that the queens are actually a lot more powerful than the kings, because to me, the ki yeah, of course, kings in the deck are, they can be very reactive. And again, I mean, I base it off of what I'm feeling at the time when I'm reading it, but it's just something that I've noticed. And that can be kind of their downfall, is that certain kings can react to situations too quickly. And the queens typically, think things out, and they trust their gut a little bit more, trust their intuition. So it's definitely like a more stable energy for me. But, kind of like on a more mundane level, the queens can indicate, women in our life. Our mothers, love interests, and things like that as well. And then we have the kings, who I just talked about a little bit, but the kings are, considered by many, I think, to be the most powerful court cards in the deck, and they can be very
I guess,
successful.
well, Chris, I guess they didn't hear about the goddess energy. Now, do you think so?
What?
The king hasn't heard about the goddess energy.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, of course, because, that's one thing that they usually lack is like a little bit of balance, and that includes, in their energy as well. They can be, too aggressive or too, outgoing or things like that. They have no, no balance. So I always say, I mean, on one hand, that's what make can make the kings very successful, that they can be so good at whatever it is that they are doing at that moment, that they can become, they charge through any obstacle, they can be very successful. But then when something goes wrong, they can kind of like snowball and go the other direction. So that can, lead to some issues.
That is just that they're so amazing to me. I still, well, I'm learning so much through you about these, and they're just so fascinating. But you know what? I know you wanted to tell the callers and the listeners and get it out there. But you were telling me before we put you on the air that there are people who think, and you kind of that kind of is me. So I so relate to that. But you said that some of the people that you read for think that your readings are very positive. So let's get into that a little bit.
Yeah, so I mean, what I was saying to you is that, I do not enter into readings with any intentions or any feelings whatsoever. And, the cards don't have any feelings at all. So, I choose to put a positive spin for the most part on the readings. However, what I was saying is, a lot of readers out there try to make it seem like the cards have a lot of control over your life, and a lot of people feel that way. For the readings, they think that the reading is kind of like set in stone and things like that. But really, the cards are only guidance. That's all that they are, and they cannot control your life at all whatsoever. So, you can change an outcome if you don't like it, and you can make it go, either way. So, if it's a positive reading, you could easily turn that into a negative one by just, having a negative outlook or, being negative in general. But again, the cards, they don't have any feelings. And a lot of the things that I do, like I try to say, even on the negative cards, and this is something I feel like tarot kind of leaves out as well. If you notice on the tarot readers, they'll say something negative is going to happen, but they don't provide the solution. And there are solutions to every single card in the deck.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. I'm going to stop you right there because, and then we can continue. But that's why I like the intuitive, what I do is intuitive counseling or reading because I believe the messages are the messages. I, like you, have no connotation to, a negative or a positive. I say what I hear. But then the real wonder of the universe, and for me, the read is that you can, there's always a positive spin, even when and I'll give you an example, and I know you know this. If somebody calls and says, are they going to, you know, is this the boyfriend that they're going to marry? And you hear no. So, you know, somebody might say, well, no, you're not going to. Okay. And then they hang up. But I would look at that reading and say, you know what? You might not stay with this person. This person is, you have to make the decision. We have free will. It's not for you. But there are some great things coming, and I see them. And I would go into that. So you're right. You can take a negative, what somebody might think of as a negative, and really to me, every card is positive, because even change is positive in a lot of directions. So, and I believe in, you know, life path. So if your life path isn't going the way you want it to go, and you're fighting it, that's also seen in a reading, and I love that. And that means that if I see change, it's for the better, even if it's, if you don't, you know, if people don't intercept it that way. So do you believe that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what were you going to say when I rudely interrupted you like I do most of my guests?
No, I think, you know, I was pretty much done on that thought, and that was pretty much it, but.
Yeah, because you and I read the same. I mean, we don't read the same way because I read different and you read different because I don't read your cards. But I love, Chris, something that you said to me, and that is that you put no you put no emotion into your read. You know, so you know I don't know how you phrased it, and it's, you know, I can hear it, but I'm not being able to say it. But you don't attach any commitment to your read. And I love that, because that way people get what's coming and you don't have to worry about what you've said. Now, you said it better than I did. So go ahead and say how you read.
Oh, no, I just said, you know, I don't go in with any, you know, intentions or feelings, basically. I just, you know, enter the reading and just.
And you're not attached to the outcome. That was it. You're not attached to the outcome.
Yeah, not attached to the outcome at all.
Yeah, and I love that, because when you are attached to the outcome, things can change. And I'll give you everybody an example who's listening. If you tell somebody something and you feel like you're going to hurt their feelings, or you're not, you know, and you really are attached to that, what happens is the message coming through might not be as clear as you can give it. So I love that about you, Chris, and that's why I think you're so special when you do read. So I do want to tell you, there's few people who can do it. A lot of people are attached to outcomes that they give. And I think when I meet somebody that isn't, it is not that you're unemotional, is that the message is for the person, not for you to be attached to it. And I love that. So do you know what I'm saying? Can you hear me?
Oh,
did I
you know, yes. Yeah, no, I can hear you. But yeah, no, absolutely. You know,
okay.
Like I said, I agree.
Well, I am going to get to your first caller, because I've got to tell you, unless there's anything else you'd like to say to the people who are listening.
Oh, no. Absolutely. Let's go.
Well, I am going to bring somebody in. Everybody knows that I did have the flu, so I have still a little cough. And when I cough, I want to apologize. It isn't good. And I am going to cough right now, but I am going to put somebody on for you so I can cough in private. Hi, 719, you are on. Callie?
Oh, hello, that's me. Hi.
Hello.
Thank you,
Callie,
for calling.
Callie, I am going to cough right now, so I'm putting myself on hold. So you talk to Chris, okay?
All righty. Sounds good.
All right. Hey, Callie.
Hey. First of all, I'm going to say thank you very much. It's like I got Bonnie had me on, I don't know, a couple, she took my call a couple months ago. And at that point in time, you know, you had said that you saw 4 in connection with our move, and you weren't sure if it was, you know, 4 weeks, 4 months, you know, April, whatever it was. And it turned out to be the sooner. It's like we actually turned around and we moved within 4 weeks from one state to another, and got set up and got the children started in school and the whole shot. So I was going to say,
confirmation.
For that, baseball.
That's
confirmation.
Good.
I love that. Hi, I'm back. I can cough now because I have a cough drop in my mouth. So, you know, Chris, I always love to put people on who you've helped and it was actually, I came, even though you're not attached to the outcome, this outcome
right.
and all of them are really good. So I wanted
right.
you to know how important and the work that you do. So go ahead, Kelly. I know you need to ask another question.
I do. I have a couple, and they're both kind of, I'll just say, exterior-based to what's going on. It's like I have a couple situations that have been kind of long-standing, and I'm finally in a position where I can do something with them. The first one involves a matter of someone leasing, I'll just say, leasing pasture from me, and the person has not paid their pasture bill. Well, see, let's put it this way. As of September, they owe me $900. And this has gone on for like, I don't know, it's like three-some years that they have not paid. And I simply was not, because of the situation I was in, I was not able, I was in another state, I was an absent, you know, landlord type of thing. And it's like, so what I'm kind of curious about is with that situation, is there going to be a positive outcome? I'll put it that way. It's like, will I actually get the money's due and owing, or, you know, what do you see with that?
Yeah, you know, I think you will. I think it's going to take a little bit of work. And I mean, I haven't even pulled any cards yet, by the way. You know, but when you started to say your question, I got this like huge image of hay in my head, like hay from a field. So I mean, even before I knew it was a pasture. So I mean, I connected to it right away.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, so are there, I'm going to say there are two people involved.
There's one person with the pasture issue. I mean, it's a woman, and yes, she does have a son that's actually in trouble with the law for different things or whatever.
Okay, so I mean, I definitely picked up on the two people, and you know, I think that's part of the issue. So the first card I did pull is the Ten of Clubs. You know, so I mean, you know, the Ten of Clubs to me, clubs are all about the brain, and for me at least, like I say. And they can be very mental cards in my mind. But, you know, Ten of Clubs is one of the few cards that I would say brings in, like, a lot of people into an event. So, you know, whenever it comes up in situations like this, I do say that at least there is help there for you to get this moving forward if you have to go that way. But to me, it also says, you know, it also says that there needs to be some, you know, major communication and things like that. It's a very, you know, communication-based card. But it is a card of success, you know, in my mind. It usually, you know, I mean, if you've seen my other readings on YouTube or something, this card comes up. I always say that it's usually business-related, a business-related success of some sort. So, you know, I would say would be a positive outcome as well. The lady that's involved here, I mean, I have the Queen of Hearts, that both of you are present in the reading, which I like to see because it means, you know, both people are there. You're both coming in at a position of, you know, good power. And so, you know, even when we have, like, incidents like this, we need to make sure that even if they haven't been paying us, that we kind of, like, close off the situation positively for both sides. I think that's an important message as well. Because, I mean, this deck I'm using actually has all the symbolism is in circles. So it's kind of interesting that I chose that for this. And you're coming up right next to her. So, you know, I would try to work it out, you know, on both sides. But I would say that she's having some problems. She definitely, it's funny, the first thing I was drawn to was the queen on these cards also looks like a little bit sad, the Queen of Hearts. I almost want to send you a picture of these two cards together so you can see what it looks like. But, you know, the Queen of Hearts looks a little bit sad, and then the Queen of Diamonds, which I believe is you, looks like almost has like a more caring face on. And it's like, you know, I think you are going to be almost like sympathetic to her situation, you know, which I, you know, caution you, you know, I would put some caution on that sympathy just because you don't want to, you know, be taken advantage of. But, you know, I think it's
already has it right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it will be positive, of course.
Okay.
What are you doing about, before you ask the next question, Cal, what are you doing about it? Are you taking it? Have you put up the no trespassing signs? Have you, you know, filed a complaint?
I actually, I actually got referred to one of the brand inspectors who's law enforcement at the state level, and so I made a phone call to that person, and they called me back. They explained how to go about, it's a government form, which you said, if I need some help on, I got to get online and do it. It's called a feed lien, and what I need to do with that is I need to enter the feed lien, and it's like, and then it goes to, you know, he'll step-by-step me through it. It goes to some state entity someplace or other, and then they look at it and determine, you know, if it's reasonable. I'm going, well, $25 a month for pasture for like 13 goats is pretty reasonable, yes. Anyway, and then from there, after I am notified that they have approved it, then I can go notify her, you know, what's been happening, you know, put up the no trespassing signs, you know, et cetera, and she is not allowed to move the animals from the place that they're at until the bill is paid. So that's the step. That, you know, that's the steps, and it's like that's where I'm at. It's kind of at the beginning. I got a hold of this guy, and he explained it to me. So my big thing now is my internet problem. It's like I've got to have a place where I can get on the internet to fill out this form thing. So it's like, yeah, I've been putting my house in order first.
Okay, because you got to get you can go to the school library and do that, Kelly.
Maybe.
You can, I mean, because any libraries have computers, so you can bring your computer and get online there, or even at a, I know you don't have Starbucks or anything there, but I know somebody is there that will allow you to do that. But okay, so what's your next question? But I think probably what you're seeing maybe, Chris, because I saw the same thing, is that maybe after she files all that and she, you know, confronts the lady that things will be okay. She'll either pay her back, make payments, you know, and then, or she'll tell Kelly she can do something with the goats, and it'll be in more of a friendlier way.
Right.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I will say the Ten of Clubs to me is definitely a card of authority as well. So, you know, it makes sense, the whole going to the authorities and having to do something very official to get it moving forward, you know, definitely makes sense there.
You're going to be okay, Kelly. It's just a matter of you getting.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've got to.
Right.
Yeah, you need to fill that form out. Okay, so is there another question before I move on? Is there another question? Because you said questions.
Yeah,
go ahead.
This is another kind of a land matter, and I just kind of want to see if there's any. Before I move forward with it legally, I want to see if there's any, I'll just say, news from the other side that it might be successful or not. But what it looks like I'm going to have to do to prove on this one, a person, I'll just say, purchased from my dad two lots that were supposed to be part of the family inheritance, we'll put it that way. This person, I'll just say, has committed elder abuse against more people than my dad over the years. And we have a real long history. We actually went to school together, so I regrettably know the individual. And what he did was, after he purchased the lots for $3,000, my dad didn't tell any of the family. And the following year, like 11 months later, I had put, you know, because I kept telling my dad, I'm going to buy those from you, you know, so you don't sell them. And I did. I put $12,000 in my dad's account. And he called me and he says, well, you know, did you do this? And I said, yeah. And I said, I've been telling you I was going to do this. And there's this little silence. And he says, well, I sold them. I said, oh, really? How long ago? He said, well, a couple months. Turned out it was 11 months ago. And he sold them for $3,000 to this person when I had just turned around and put, you know, 12 into my dad's account, which, by the way, my dad never did get back to me. But anyway, we ended up using it for his nursing home stuff. And part of it was that the person in question had the previous fall, like several months, you know, prior to this, had gone to the doctor with, you know, one of my dad's doctor's appointments with him, and I was present. And he told the doctor, in no uncertain terms, that my dad was mentally losing it, you know, that he was slipping. And at that point, this individual was trying to get, what is it called? Not executive powers, legal.
Power of attorney.
Yeah, here we go, power of attorney, thank you. And my dad wasn't having any of that, you know, so that's, he actually made some changes in the house at that point in time. It's like, so this person wouldn't get his hooks into that. But he left the East lots open, unfortunately, And this guy really worked him, and it was that next spring. It was like in June, I'll say it was in June of 07, that he finally, you know, talked him out of him. And it was May of 08 when I paid him for him. And it's like, in all that time, my dad had never said anything to family. I was like, all righty. So anyway, yes, keep moving forward. This guy had made my dad all kinds of problems. Oh, you know, I'll give you like, you know, your 99-year lease for, you know, all your, you know, heirs and this and that and the other. Well, he never got anything in writing. I was like, it was all, I mean, my sons heard it, but it's like, you know, it's one of those your word against our word in court and whatever. And it's like, it's been costly because I had storage units that was on the land. And as soon as my dad was incapacitated and in a nursing home and he didn't recognize the guy, he got after me legally, you know, got a lawyer, blah, 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 had to move these, you know, this and that. It was just, it turned very not good. And finally to the point where this gentleman, he had his attorney write a letter to me stating that if I didn't quit talking to people, you know, like about him, he was going to file a slander suit. And I was like going, okay, there was only one person that I had said anything to about a particular matter, because I happen to know that this gentleman in question is on a disability pension, and he's, you know, nobody else around the town apparently knows it, remembers it, or whatever. So I know that's accurate. And there was another situation that occurred between him and I years ago. But anyway, what I'm kind of looking at is, if I get this land surveyed, because he tore down a 100-year-old fence to put up this monstrosity that he did. So I'm kind of wondering, is anybody on the other side talking in terms of, you know, if I spend the money to get it surveyed, is it going to be successful? Is it, you know, did he actually tear down my fence to build his own? And then would there be repercussions from that, you know, whatever, towards him? Or did he actually own the fence and, you know, rightfully do that?
You know, so, well, I mean, what I kept hearing is that it's going to be hard, and that, you know, I don't necessarily know what that means, you know, always, but, well, I do know what it means, because you have a card here that really represents it, but, you know, you have all very, I mean, it's funny that we talk about this, how, you know, my readings are always positive, but, you know, when people only get positive cards, I mean, it is kind of hard to, you know, put a, you know, negative spin on something that's positive, but, I mean, you know, the card that stands out to me right off the bat, and, you know, the second I pulled it, I was like, yeah, I mean, this is probably what that hard thing means. The other Eight of Diamonds, which is, you know, to me, is a card of success. I mean, you know, the way I read it and what, you know, feelings I get off of it. But the Eight of Diamonds is, like, kind of one of those cards also where, you know, the amount of work you put into, you know, whatever this is, you know, is what you're going to get out of it. So it's like, you know, usually for eights to be successful, and they have the, you know, opportunity to be extremely successful, they just have to put a lot of work into it. So I think it would, you know, take a lot of effort on your part to, you know, get all this cleared up. But, I mean, the rest of the cards are extremely, I mean, you have all diamonds cards. And it's, I mean, it's so funny when this happens with a question that is, like, financially related more or less. Right. You know, you have the Ace of Diamonds, Ten of Diamonds, Four of Diamonds all in a row. You know, probably I would say the three most stable cards as far as diamonds go, the Ace of Diamonds, Ten of Diamonds, Four of Diamonds, all represent great stability. So, you know, probably, I don't know if it brings stability back to you. That's the first thing. You know, when I see aces, I'm always like, you know, this is probably going to be a very new situation, you know, dealing with it. It's not a new situation, but dealing with it, the things that you're going to have to do are going to be very new, but they will lead to a lot of change. Ten of Diamonds is a big change card for me. I mean, you know, I always say that, you know, ten to me always represents a very difficult period before, like, getting the card in a reading. And then after, they kind of represent a melting away of those issues and those issues going away. But just the amount of diamonds cards that are here, I would say that it is going to require, you know, some work, and maybe even just a financial, you know, financially putting a lot of money into it to make it work.
Okay, gotcha.
Well, you know, Kelly,
but there might be some reimbursement coming back from that if it does indeed show that he's done this, like, I'll say illegally. Because that's a good thing to fence somebody else's, you know, to fence somebody else's property. It's like that's, you know, that's not allowed at the county level or state level or anything else out here.
Yeah, well, definitely, it's funny because you had a four last time, and the four of diamonds always represents to me, too, that it's more money coming into your house. So, you know, I take the four sometimes very literally, as in, like I said, your house. You know, so I would say, you know, it's definitely more money coming into your house. And, you know, the four is also, I mean, it really represents a new situation. So, yeah, I mean, very good stuff.
Right.
Wow.
Is there any possibility that I would actually be able to, like, make a deal and get those two lots back into my name? Or is that even feeling a deal like that?
My feeling, you know, right off the bat was yes.
Okay.
And,
Maybe Kelly, because, and I've got to move on, but maybe what's going to happen, and I'm kind of seeing a scenario, Chris, so I don't know, you know, you can see this, but maybe if you're going to take, if he has the fence not on your property, he's going to owe you money to rent that property that he's fenced in, because I know some real estate. And what'll happen is maybe that you can ask him that you'll drop the charges or drop any, you know, anything as long as he moves his fence back to his property line, and that you then can receive back your two lots.
Okay.
What do you think? Is that possible, Chris?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, she also had the 10 of spades at the end there. And, you know, to me, the 10 of spades is sometimes, you know, it involves, you know, compromising and having to make a compromise that you might not necessarily be, you know, 100% happy with, but it's still one of those situations where it's like better than nothing.
Right.
That would be great. Maybe it's only one lot you'll get, Cal, instead of two. There's a compromise.
Yeah, right. Something like that.
Okay. Yeah. So let us know, you know what? Let us know, Kelly, how you're doing.
When this falls out, it's like, I will totally call back and let you guys know what happened with situations. And thank you.
Well,
thank you very much.
Thank you, Kelly. You know, we love you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Bye.
You're welcome, Kelly. I just took you off. Kelly reads cards, too. As you remember, Kelly, all same cards you do, only she reads them in signs, like your Mars, your Jupiter period. And so she would love to do your cards when she gets her internet fixed. She would love to do, you know, that exchange. So I know Kelly can't wait to see what's in your cards. It's more like astrology based on playing cards. It's really cool. You both read playing cards so different.
Yeah.
So I am going to pick up your next caller. 262, you are on with Chris. I want to say Minnow Pond, but I'll call you Chris. Hi.
Hi, Bunny. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how are you?
Hi. Hi, Sherry. Hello. How are you?
I'm fine. Haven't heard from you for a while.
I want to fill everybody in because people think I pick up my friends all the time. I pick up people I talk to because I usually talk to everybody. But Sherry was a caller, and we gave Sherry a reading, and then she gave us a reading. Is that like cool or what?
Right.
You know? I mean, think about that. I mean, everybody knows, except Sherry, who said she didn't. But when you call my show and you say you're a medium, psychic, or empath, and we give you a reading, the next question, you know, because I'm live and in charge here, I always say, hey, what do you bring up? And man, Sherry talked for 20 minutes and brought Susan and I a lot. So I love this girl. She's super connected, and I hope to bring her to all of you very shortly. Well, she probably knows my schedule is very busy, but I am going to introduce you to Chris. Chris, this is Sherry. Sherry, this is Chris. So everybody, this is a caller and a listener and a chatter, and she is presenting a question to my reader, but really, Sherry, you'll be here soon. So go for it, unless you have something for Chris after, but go ahead.
Hey, whatever happens, happens. I'm just going to let you, like, just give what you get or, like, you know, do whatever you want.
Well, yes, I think you have to ask him. Can you work like that, Chris, or do you want her to ask a question?
No, yeah, I mean, that's fine with me. which
okay.
we did.
Yeah, I don't want to put you on the spot because I hate being put on the spot, but yeah.
No,
oh, but I guess you could put everybody on the spot.
Yeah, I found that out. or you could maybe even look at, like, maybe the spiritual path, or if you wanted some direction, or what's coming up, you know.
Well, I mean, I already pulled some cards, so, you know, just based off of just general, you know, stuff. So do you want me to just go with that? Is that cool?
Oh, you know what? Just go with your own intuition. I'm open to
okay,
anything.
Okay, cool. So what's really crazy, and I've never had this happen ever, I mean ever, is that you have the Joker coming up twice in the reading. And the Joker is actually one of my favorite cards in the whole entire deck, really, because it's kind of like a, you know, it's like a superpower card almost. It gives you the ability to do lots of things and being able to, like, juggle a lot of situations. And it doesn't have the same effect on you as it would other people. So, you know, I always tell people that Jokers are always judged. I mean, they're always heavily judged by their peers, usually, by people they work with, and even their own family members. And the judgments are always very wrong, incredibly wrong. And, you know, Jokers are always able to prove people wrong. So Jokers are the type of people who, like, you know, in a job, they can work on 10 projects, then, you know, their other co-workers will work on one project, and in 6 months, the Joker will be done with the 10 projects, and the other people will only have finished one project. And, you know, the Joker will always have done all 10 projects to a really high degree of accuracy. They're incredibly accurate. So, you know, they do the job well. And so not only can they do, like, 20 things at once when most people can only do one, they can actually do it right, and their co-workers will, you know, do one project incorrectly and not even be able to complete it to a high degree of accuracy. So, and, you know, I know here I am saying work. I don't know, you know, for you, this is really your whole entire life. I don't think it's just work. I think it's in a lot of different things. And, you know, I would say that you're going to carry these cards for your whole life. It's interesting. Whenever I run into Jokers, you know, it's usually, like I said, it's usually a card that follows them around their whole entire life that never leaves. And these people, I mean, they need a lot of mental stimulation. Typically, they're ADD. Usually, like I said, they usually have a lot of things going on at once. And, you know, like I said, most people would have a mental breakdown if they had to do what a Joker has, you know, what a Joker has to do. Most people, they can't even handle it. You know, because like I say, you know, it's like 99% of the population thinks point A, point B. Jokers think, like, points all over the place, complete chaos, and you know, they Jokers typically
anyway, and throw Gemini on top of that too.
Well, okay, so that's hilarious because you know, Joker is the card of Gemini, and
I'm
just
a Gemini,
about to,
so yeah.
Well, there you go. So that's totally you. But you have that twice, so you know, it's definitely something that's definitely, you know, a big time thing for you to embrace. I always tell people if they have this card that they should be having, like, multiple businesses at the very least, you know, at the very least two. And it's because really what happens with the Jokers is that, you know, they thrive under those conditions. So they always end up becoming, you know, very, if they have only one thing to do, it actually crushes them, crushes their spirit, and it doesn't allow for them to grow. You know, when they have multiple things going on, that is when they can be, you know, very successful. And I'm actually going to keep going on the Joker just real quick. I know I've been talking about it a lot here, but, you know, to me, it's also a card of kind of not revealing all of your, you know, traits up front with people. You know, it's, the Joker is a trickster, which is actually kind of like a trait you want to embrace with this card. And it's not about being tricky, but it's just not, it's not like giving away all your secrets up front to people, and then kind of allowing them to come out at the right time, because that is when you get noticed when you are a Joker, is when you can bring it out at those right times, and, you know, then people will notice it at those times. But if you bring everything out at front, you know, at the front, it's kind of like nobody notices. So that's the challenge with the Joker. Next, you have the Eight of Spades, which usually indicates some, you know, mental blocks or being confused as to where to go, or kind of like, you know, I say it's a part of banging your head against the wall in a lot of ways. Not sure what path to choose. You know, it's like this card that kind of can bring in a lot of confusion like that. But, you know, I always say the good thing with eights is that their solutions are incredibly easy solutions. You could think of the eight as it's like a very lazy card. So, you know, and it's mostly because it's even. It's kind of hard to describe you know, I try to describe the feelings that I get off of this card, but it's just like, you know, it's hard. It's just hard to say what that really is. But it's a card that says, you know, wherever you're banging up your head against the wall, to just, you know, move a little bit left, move a little bit right, and open your eyes to some other solutions that are really available. Sometimes with the Eight of Spades, we can get really stuck on one idea, like one idea on how, and this could be anything that's a problem. It could be everything in your life. So, you know, it can involve love, business, work, finance, everything. And you can have very specific ideas on how you want to get to a certain point and in those areas. And then you get stuck, and it's kind of like you get almost, I don't want to say stubborn, but it's almost like stubborn when you kind of hit a block and you're not allowed to move forward, and you just want to kind of like force it to move forward harder. And this card just says, well, hey, there's like an easier way. Anytime you get stuck, and this is going to be for the rest of your life, just look to just a different but also somewhat similar solution, and you'll work your way right around it. But I do think you have new success coming in. You have the Ace of Diamonds, and which is a great card. It's a card of business success. New money coming in, money from new situations. It's a very innovative card. It makes total sense with the Jokers, because the Jokers are typically innovators. They have a lot of new ideas, not old ideas, and they're constantly trying to innovate, which is, you know, again, that can be their downfall. However, when they come up with an idea and it hits, it usually hits really, you know, really big. So I say, you know, Steve Jobs is an Ace of Diamonds. That is his birth card. So it's that type of, like, forward-thinking, innovation, future type of stuff that you are thinking about that could really get you very successful and moving forward. And that is what I have so far.
Wow.
That sounds very accurate.
Wait a minute, Sherry. I am got to stop you. That's my reading, Chris. I am sorry, but that is my reading. I want that. Okay, first of all,
wait,
I want
to Bonnie,
see
didn't I tell you that we were parallel to each other a little bit?
Well, you did tell me that, but I, you know, again, we talked once, and I'm going to tell you that I'll share the cards with you, but they're my cards.
You can't take them.
All right. Well, I'm going to convince Chris to make mine, but okay. How about, can you, what you did want, you did ask me something that I said call into the show. Chris, how about, she's looking, she's married, but it's not, she's kind of, can I say it, Sherry, or do you not want
to? Yeah, I guess, what do you see? I mean, and I'm a person you can be very blunt with, so what do you see as the final outcome on that?
She's looking.
And if you tell me, it's up to me.
No, but like I said, I see a lot of, I see a lot of success, you know, especially with that Ace of Diamonds. The Ace of Diamonds is, it's not one of the most rare cards in the deck, but it does not show up all that often for people, although it's shown up twice today, of course, but usually when I read for people, it doesn't come up all that often, like I said, and it's very, you know, it's a very distinct type of success. I would say that even though traditionally the card is not read this way, I always said the Ace of Diamonds people, especially with that card, but I mean, of course, the Joker's there too, and together it really also means that they always become successful because of themselves. They never become successful because of other, you know, people or anything like that. So if they really, people who have those cards, I think you automatically already do rely on yourself a lot. So it's not like something that you have to learn. I think you already do it. But again, I think success comes when, you know, when these people, especially with two Jokers, I mean, I can't believe it. That has never happened in my entire, you know, reading ever.
Believe me, trust me, if it can happen, everything happens to me. So,
me too.
Exactly.
I want that reading.
No,
it's my reading. But okay, I'll let you say what you have to say. Do you see her really quickly? Do you see her getting a divorce?
Nothing came up, although, well, okay, I just pulled the Three of Spades. So, you know, Three of Spades is considered, you know, sometimes a divorce card. It can be a card of separation.
I am separated.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, it is a separation divorce card usually.
Mm.
And like I said, I literally just pulled it. So it is a card, though. I will say also, it is a card to make sure to take care of your health. Frequently, when people get the Three of Spades, they tend to, you know, if they're working very hard, that's all they do, and they don't focus on other things. You know, so just watch that as well. Just, you know, it's just more of a warning.
No, that's true. No, that's true, because like Spirit came to me and gave me a couple messages about my health and even in my sleep. And I'm like, really? You know,
yeah.
And they told me exactly what to do. You know, and they even told me to go on an antibiotic. So it was pretty funny.
Right, yeah.
Well, guess what, you know, Sherry? You can have that card. That's your card. I don't want that card.
I'll take it because it makes sense to me, you know. No, they're
right.
Trying to,
right.
Basically, what I basically feel Spirit's doing now is they want me to detox and just, you know how you do the mind, body, spirit? So I got the
right.
Spirit and the mind. Now I got to do the body, you know.
Right, yeah, and with a three coming up, I mean, that's a big, you know, mind, body, spirit card. So, you know,
okay.
Threes are all about that. So, absolutely.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah, they're detoxing me. It's always fun,
right.
Isn't it?
Oh,
well, thank you
yeah.
so much.
You are
yes,
so welcome,
you.
Sherry. You got anything? Did anything come through for Chris?
I don't know. I just heard job change. When you asked me that, I just heard job change. I don't know who that's for. It just flew into my head.
Oh, that's mine, but it's okay. I'll take it, but it better be a better job change. All right. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Aw, she's so cute, and she's so sweet, and I thank you. That was a great reading. You know, I guess I never, you know, oh, well, you know, I always want everything, so I want a reading
right.
like that. But then I want to see if there are two jacks come up for me. But we're not going to do that because then I know my audience will have a bunny. All right, so 928, you are on with Chris Rack. Hi.
Hi.
Hello. Hi,
yes,
who am I speaking with? Hi, who am I speaking
Hi,
with?
Hi, this is Sophia.
Hi, Althea. Oh, my God. The last time, I don't know what is going on here, but people were dropping on, off, right, and left. I'm going to introduce you to Chris because I already know your question because I think, is it going to be about a guy?
Yeah, relationship.
Okay. So go ahead, Chris, because I already, I've talked to Althea many times. So I'm going to hand you over to Chris.
All right. So what's the question?
I guess just whatever you can pick up on my relationship with a person named Dean.
Okay. Well, the first thing that comes up is that I think communication is an issue, number one. I would say that, and I don't know if that's because of the retrograde, although I'd have to say that, you know, the communication is probably lacking in general for sure. You have the Seven of Clubs coming up first. It actually, you know, it's a card of success, but something is always missing from a Seven of Clubs, and it's usually always communication that is the problem. I would have to say that this is coming from him as well, the lack of communication and things like that. But, you know, it's funny because the card's followed right up with the Five of Clubs, which is literally the card of communication, you know, as far as I read. So, you know, I would have to say that that's lacking. It's interesting also because the solution is the same for both cards. Like I said at the beginning of the show, there are solutions to all these things. So, you know, one of those solutions is partially he needs to, you know, learn how to communicate. I mean, it's you know, just that simple. But the other thing is that you can also come in and try to move that along. I mean, but you can't change somebody. Some people, they won't change, and that's just how it is,
yeah.
No matter what. So sometimes it can be like, you know, you have to be okay, become okay with the level of communication that you are receiving. It's interesting because I feel like also he has his own language that you probably are learning in that, and even if that is in his silence, you know, it's like you're learning, something, whatever, but how to figure it out. But you also have the Nine of Diamonds coming in next. Nine of Diamonds is a card of new things coming in, so, you know, he very well could, you know, start to open up and things like that. But, you know, Nines, typically they trickle in, so they do take their time. And it's kind of like it works out in their own time situation where it's like, you know, he'll communicate when he wants to. But, again, it is a successful card, so it says that that could change. But finally you have the Jack of Spades, which is him. And Jack of Spades, you know, is a card of having just learned a lot of things in life, you know, and coming out of something. So that could be part of the silence. He's trying to figure things out. I don't know, you know, it is a spiritual card, but he might not be as spiritual, so he might not know how to handle having, like, learned a bunch of things and changed and all that. And, you know, the Jacks, it's funny because typically they don't necessarily want to see things, Jack of Spades in particular. So, you know, sometimes they close their eyes and they don't want to, you know, open it up to situations and things like that. It's interesting, you know, I know I've said the word interesting like a million times in your reading, but it is very interesting how, you know, this ties in with, you know, a couple signs, mainly Leo, that I've been reading for recently, and it's like a lot of the same stuff has been coming up. But, you know, I would say that he's learned a lot probably over the last 8 years, about 8 years, somewhere around there. And it's kind of like he's kind of finally, you know, I think he's figuring things out, being pushed out into like a new direction. And he just needs to trust himself more. The Jack of Spades, that's the one thing about him, is he trusts himself so much that on the cards I'm using, the Jack of Spades is wearing a blindfold. And it represents the fact that Jack of Spades, he trusts himself so much that he's willing to, like, walk around in the world with a blindfold on. So it's all about developing that type of, you know, that deep level of trust inside of himself.
And, so does that make sense? Yeah. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. Right now, he kind of wants things to be, like, serious. He wants, you know, to start a family and stuff. And I'm not certain. I don't know, you know, like, because I feel like I have to think about this in, like, the long term. Like, how is this going to look 10 years from now and all of that. So it's just kind of hard. And I'm just like, is it even, I guess, for me to invest in it or, you know, because communication is kind of different between us.
And,
yeah,
well,
I cut you off, Chris, so keep continuing. I don't know why.
No, sorry.
I needed to know she understood, so that's why. But keep going, because you're right on the money.
Well, you know, I just pulled up the King of Spades as well. I pulled two extra cards. I just wanted to see what's going on. And you know, like I said, the sevens, any uneven card you have is all about, you know, uneven cards are very indecisive and don't know what to do and things like that. They're not complete. So like I said, I think for this completion, you know, I think it will trickle in. It will happen in its own time, and you will come to a decision, which is ultimately up to you. There is a lot of love here as well, but we'll get to that in a second. The King of Spades came in. So that tells me that he's at least willing to work for, you know, work to be whatever he needs to be. That's the thing. When, you know, Jack comes in, Jacks can be a little bit immature and things like that, and they don't know where they're going, but then when I see something like a king following it up like it is here, that can tell me that he will become that king and, you know, he will figure things out and he will do what he like needs to do, which is a very good sign. I mean, I think most people would find that to be an attractive, you know, an attractive trait. And then, you know, it's followed up by the Nine of Hearts, which is a card of getting, you know, it's a wish card on one hand, but again, it is that, like, incomplete number. It's not 10 yet. I always say if the cards had feelings, the uneven card would want to be, you know, a 10. It would want to be that even number. So that tells me that, you know, nines always, like I said, they trickle. They come in bits and pieces. You start to figure things out, and then you make the decision from there, whether it's to you know, create a family and do what you got to do or, you know, go another direction. But just know that it will pretty much come in, like, chunks. That's the best way to describe it. You know, little things will happen and you'll decide, you know, one way, and then another thing will happen and you'll decide another. And then I think finally you get to a point where you've added everything up in your head and you know, you decide what you want to do from there.
Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, it does.
Well, you know, we always wish you the best. And it is not easy. I mean, these decisions aren't easy because they're lifelong. Well, you have to look at them as lifelong. I mean, you don't want to go into a relationship with a family too fast and then realize that wasn't what you wanted to do. So I totally understand. You've been, you know, you have been pondering this for a little bit. And I think it's all about communication.
Right.
I think it's about communication. And I don't know
but that's
why. I don't know why I feel, and you can, Chris, if you can clear this up for me, but I feel like you wish he would communicate more. Like he communicates you on certain levels, but other levels he doesn't. And I feel like he cuts you out of the kind of communication you want from him, but he thinks he is communicating.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. Like, he did say that. He said he's willing to be patient and work things out with me. But I'm like, I don't know. There's a lot of things to consider there. There's age difference, and there's just, I guess, the space we're in, and I'm just, I don't know.
Well, what? You know, I will say to Bonnie's point as well, I mean, you know, and this happens for almost every man that I read for as well, is that, you know, especially in relationships, they think, you know, men are so different, and, you know, they think they are already doing these things. You know what I mean? But, like, they feel like they're already, you know, making a change and things like that. So sometimes, you know, I always say, you know, sometimes it's not necessarily their fault that they're not, you know, like 100% there and doing the right thing.
And you know what? I got to tell you something, honey, and I know probably you don't want to hear this, but I don't know if you know that this is the right person for you. And that's what I'm picking up. And that's okay.
God, no.
You think he is the right person for you?
No, I don't. Like, I really don't. I just... No,
and I feel like you're struggling. You're struggling. And I don't know why, because what happens when you do that... Now, I know lessons learned, believe me, from you know, everybody comes into your life. And this is how I feel, and I didn't talk to Chris about this. Everybody comes in for a reason, for a season. They're not always there forever, and there's a reason, because on your life path, there's karma to make up, there's karma to be with, there's karma to have, there's karma to get rid of. And so I feel like with you, you know this, and you know this isn't the right move, but yet you're frozen. And the thing is, whatever you do, please take your time, because if this is not the man for you, you're going to prolong. Because I don't believe when you're on your life path, even if you journey off your life path, eventually you're going to get back on it. But the happiness that you want, the fulfillment and the love and the complete communication, there is somebody that's going to fill that pocket. But you're afraid to look for it. And so I get it. But just be careful of making decisions too quickly about staying with somebody that might not be right for you. Okay?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, I wish I could talk to you. Go ahead. You're welcome. You know, call anytime.
Thanks.
That was a really weird thing, and we really appreciate it. We know you're having some struggles, but please don't make the wrong decision, because in the end, that'll be worse. Okay?
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You.
Bye-bye. Bye. She's sweet, and I talk to her a lot. But okay, 757, you are on with Minnow Pond. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
I'm okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I can hear you.
Okay.
And poor Chris, we cut him totally out. Chris, how
Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Hi,
I think women just kind of roll on over him, especially me, because I should be letting him say hello first, but, you know.
It's just so, though, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't want to be rude or anything, but the problem is, you know, I'm a flabbermouth, and and I'm a ham, and I'm a Leo, even though I'm a Cancer. There you go. And they love, and I hope that Chris knows I love him, and I think they love me too. So who are we speaking with?
This is Andrea. My name's Andrea.
Hi, Andrea.
Hi.
What can Chris help you with?
Chris, I just realized I'm an empath, and I know I have some healing abilities, so I'm just questioning what my spiritual path is going to be. Like, how am I going to end up helping other people with my gifts?
Sure. Let's look here. Yeah, so I would say very spiritual.
Yes, very.
Number one.
Oh, do I love that. Do I hear something behind somebody's mic?
Yeah, I hear something as well. I don't know what that is. You cut me. I think it's cutting me off, but I don't know.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to put you on hold, and then you can finish her reading while she's listening. Okay?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Okay, so are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah. And I'm sure she can, but I can't keep her on because I'm hearing noises behind her.
Yeah, me too. So, I mean, she had like a lot of, she had like a lot of cards that represent spirituality, almost every single card here. She has the Six of Spades, which is, you know, a very spiritual card, but it usually represents incremental improvement. So she has to, like, you know, she definitely has to work on these sorts of things. They're not just going to, you know, come in, and she'll see incremental improvements. I mean, that's literally what that says. Next, she has the Queen of Spades, which is a very spiritual card. Even on the deck I'm using, the Queen on the deck is using, a deck of tarot cards on this deck that I use. So, you know, it represents all of that. And like the other Spades card, she also has a blindfold on. So she really needs to, you know, trust the things that are coming into her, like, you know, the messages she gets and stuff. I know that can be a struggle for people when they first start, you know, doing this. It's like, do I trust this message or do I not trust this message and things like that. And then she has a Two of Spades coming up, which can be, you know, typically it's a breakup card. However, it is a spiritual card, and it actually represents creativity in spirituality. So using creativity, and that can be, you know, like a lot of, that can mean a lot. So that, I mean, that can mean doing things that nobody else does, like, you know, using unconventional methods, using methods that she comes up with, you know, by herself. And, you know, all things like that. And then she has the Four of Diamonds. You know, I really think that she'll be helping people. You know, she could help people, like, in their homes, you know, and going to their houses and helping them and also, or even just helping people from her own home kind of creating a home-based thing there. So, yeah, that's what she's got.
Well, I hope you've been listening, and Chris is so right on the money because that's what I'm picking up. There's going to be some type of, you're an empath. Empaths pick up people's vibrations. Maybe you're going to be able to help them. But one of the big things I'm going to tell you, and I've been talking about this in my Monday group, and I haven't had that for a while, is empaths have to make sure that they don't pick up other people's negative energy. That's all that I'm picking up. So I'm going to get to the next caller, and the next caller is 760. 760, you are on with Minnow Pond. Hi.
Hi, this is Moon Goddess.
That's my name, Moon Goddess. You know what? I'm telling you, Chris, she stole my name because I'm the Moon Goddess. So,
of course.
Moon Goddess, thank you. That's why I love you, Chris. Moon Goddess, darling, sweetheart. Even though I'm going to call you Moon Goddess because you stole my name, I'm going to introduce you to Minnow Pond. Moon Goddess,
this is
your Minnow Pond, girl.
Hi there, Chris. How are you?
Hi. I'm well. How are you?
Good, good. I'm really enjoying listening to your readings.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I can so feel your energy, and I can very much feel, you know, the authenticity, the authentic place that you come from. And when you say that you're detached from the readings, I could really resonate with that, and I feel that from you. So I really appreciate that. And
thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And so the name Chris also resonates with that whole, I don't know if your real name is Christopher, if your full name is Christopher.
It is.
Yeah, and that's my brother's name as well. And, you know, it's a 22-4 vibration numerologically, and they are all about detachment and building a foundation and, you know, coming from that very earthy, grounded place, which is what I feel from you.
That is, that is very interesting, actually.
Well, yeah. How about me? Wait a minute, Moon Goddess. You cannot. You cannot say that and then not do me. Okay?
Well, why don't we reconvene in private, and I'll be happy
okay.
to spend as much time as possible. I would love to do that. Really. Truly.
Oh, that, you know what? It would be my honor and pleasure. So you go ahead. You get your reading
okay.
from Minnopond, which is why you called, and I so understand that. And yes, you know, I'll send you or send me an email, and I'll give you my information, and we'll get together.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you so much.
I know I have it, but go ahead.
So great. My question, Chris, today is, you know, I am totally open to whatever spirit has to deliver to me. If you would like me to give you direction, I'll be happy to do that. But, you know, I'm in such a ripe time, I feel, of stepping into new things. And there's some old stuff that not only am I leaving behind, but I would like to also transform. And some of it has to do with the stability that I would like to create for myself so that my children can benefit from that. There's some of that going on for me.
You have some great stuff here. You start off with a four, number one, four of clubs. So, you know, and that is, the first thing is four of clubs is interesting. It's very much a Mercury retrograde card. It represents needing to double check things. So, I mean, and it's not a, it has, again, it's actually a card that has no feelings exactly. It's just, it doesn't care positive or negative. It just wants you to double check everything during the time. And it, you know, usually I tell people when this card comes up that, you know, they just need to ask themselves if what they're doing is really, like what they want to be doing in a lot of ways. Because sometimes when we get the four of clubs, what happens is exactly what you said. It's like, you can have, like, 30 things from the past come back, and then you kind of, like, want to do them all in a lot of ways. But it's really about, like, making that decision, like, what do I want to do every single day? And it is an every single day card, by the way. So it's, like, asking you what you want, you know, throughout your whole entire day, what you want it to look like, and, you know, I mean, all of that. Very interesting, you know, card, but it's a very stable card as well. So, you know, I'd say that stability is coming in. You have the King of Hearts coming up next. King of Hearts is a great card. I would say it's you, even though, like I said, I don't attach sex to my cards, so it doesn't matter, male or female. It can still be, you know, the archetype that is, like, really kind of surrounding you. And the card of the King of Hearts, he's definitely one of the, kings who is way more in touch with his psychic abilities than any of the other kings by a mile. And what's interesting, actually, about the cards I'm using, too, is that this King of Hearts, he actually has, like, kind of, like, an image of a woman behind him. So it's, like, it is kind of, like, interchangeable, and it really does represent that, like, psychic, you know, nature. I always say that King of Hearts, King and Queen of Hearts, really both of them, they do have that, like, and I know that you absolutely do, no doubt about it. They always just have that, like, knowing thing, and it probably drives people, you know, maybe around you and in your life crazy, because it's like one of those things where, you know, I mean, certain situations I can think of are like where, you know, it's like, it's hard to describe. Obviously, I'm at a loss for words, but it's like, you know, one of those things where, you know, maybe everybody in the house is worried about money, but you just know that everything's going to be okay. Or like, you know, why aren't you freaking out? And it's like, you know what I mean? You might be the only one that's stable. That's very much the King of Hearts, you know, has all those feelings of just knowing. They just have that internal knowing of things are going to be okay. And it's not even like, you know, the new age thing, which drives me crazy, is the whole new age, like everything's, you know, flowers and roses and, you know, where everything's going to be fine and we're going to be saved by aliens and all this other stuff. It's not like that. It's like a real knowing, like you actually know that these things are going to take place. Next, you have the Eight of Hearts. So definitely, the Eight of Hearts is actually, let me start by saying this, it is a gift card. So, I mean, it is like getting gifts. And I will say, you know, I think you definitely put out the, you know, plenty of karma positive over the past, you know, it seems like people, I've been saying this on my channel a lot, seems like there's been about like an 8-year cycle. The cycle really started probably back around 9/11. And it's interesting that we had, of course, the event 9/11 on that day, because it was kind of like this major tipping point for the entire new energetic cycle that people have experienced. I always say that energetic cycle is actually kind of closing in a lot of ways. We're still going to be keeping pieces and parts of the things that we've learned and parts of the energy even, but the cycle itself is ending. So everything good that you did during that period is like, coming back to you with the Eight of Hearts. But it is also a card of work, needing to work hard and keep going. Like, it's definitely a card that says don't stop working hard. Just keep going with the Eight of Hearts. Some of the powers of the Eight of Hearts, it's one of those cards where I tell people too that there are a couple of things you can take advantage of with this card that can really help you. And so some of those things are people that have the Eight of Hearts are usually very charismatic and very, they're charmers. They can be very charming and they can use that to their advantage in a big way. Eight of Hearts always worry about their children. They always want to take care of their children. Mm-hmm. They also, so the way that they succeed is just by through like sheer determination and, perseverance and things like that, not giving up. So it is a big don't give up card. And then finally you have the Three of Clubs, which is a great card, and it represents getting a second chance. It's one of the two cards that really only has like, it doesn't have a long drawn out meaning or multiple meanings for me. It is just a second chance card. It's getting a second chance at, a lot of things. So, it's interesting you said that, you have a lot of things coming back to you. And, I think that you will have some second chances at some things that you probably missed on the first time around. I think you're better prepared for it this time is really what the cards are saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would definitely love to meet my King of Hearts. And so that kind of wraps it up. That kind of goes full circle for me when you said second chance.
Well, and you have two, both of these cards are great love cards. I mean, the Eight of Hearts and the King of Hearts are, really good love cards. So, that is, definitely on the table for you. I would say, with the Eight of Hearts, if you want love, it just requires you to work. So I tell people, when they want love with the Eight of Hearts, that you have to literally, to get the reward, you have to do everything possible. But the rewards are always, totally worth it with that card.
So kind of like a show up type of card?
Yeah, and that includes, like, even if you don't want to, it includes
online media.
Dating.
Ooh,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I think Moon, I'm going to call you Moon Child because we're both Cancer, but Moon Goddess, because I'm the goddess, you're the child. I think we already talked about that now, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Yes.
This, Chris, because it's confirmation for me. That's all. Actually, spirit.
Oh, no, that's
spirit.
Good. Yeah.
Yes, and it's confirmation for you, too, because I get the same thing. Go ahead.
Right. Oh, no, I was just going to say, that card really, it rewards, eights are all about multiple paths, and so the Eight of Hearts rewards, the multiple paths thing. It doesn't say that you're going to meet anybody online dating. It just says that you need to, prove that you want it, so you have to do everything you possibly can to get it, basically, is what that says.
Yeah, and I feel that I am. In other words, I feel that I'm doing things that I don't necessarily want to do. And Bonnie, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing it, really to make sure that the universe knows that I'm serious about this and that I'm in alignment with this.
Well, and I mean, I will say that Cancer has been the water signs have pretty much been hit the hardest. I don't like to say that, somebody's been hit the hardest, but really the water signs have been the most challenged over this period of time that I was talking about. You can attach
especially
Capricorn,
Scorpio.
Yeah, to that as well, and Scorpio. But, so it definitely hasn't been easy. And, the challenge has been that, like I call it the hamster wheel. It's where, things start to work out and then it falls apart. And that's what the repeating message of the past, 8 years has been for most people.
So you see things changing pretty, your readings are usually for what time frame?
I don't attach time to mine because, like I say, the universe doesn't really, tell time. I would say, let's see. Yeah, so the other thing I talk about, and, I'll tell you this, is that I feel like it's almost like all the signs are changing. I've talked about this a little bit in my channel, but you know, it's like Cancer is one of the specific signs that I talk about this with. Their cards always represent how they're getting. It's almost like they're getting stronger. It's almost like the signs are changing. Like they're all like shifting around the wheel. And I really feel this a lot for a lot of signs. And, you know, it's funny because I said, you know, beginning of the year, like right away at the beginning of the year, there's a lot of shift points happening at the end of November and, you know, a lot of things around that time. And the Queen of Diamonds came up, which is, you know, like I said, it's funny because Queen of Diamonds typically would be an earth sign. So it's almost like, you know, the beginning of the year is really going to be a big, you know, shift time even for love, you know, coming in and things like that.
Queen of Diamonds relates to me or Cancers?
Yeah, no, it relates to you. Like I said, it's weird. The way I read sometimes when I read, like, the Queen, sometimes I, you know, even though the Queen of Diamonds is an earth sign, I'll say that what I'm getting is it's just, like, an archetype that is surrounding you, just, like, the energy that you are going to be, like, embracing at the time. So it's, like, you're really stepping out into the new year, like, more stable, like, having the same kind of, like, abilities as an earth sign almost.
Okay, that makes sense. Definitely.
Yeah.
I see that coming for me at the beginning of next year as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel that.
I love that because I think he, you know, it's so funny because when you're attached to time, but what I was going to say is what came through to me, Chris, was they were saying, well, it's not like you read in eternity. So the good news is... The good news is when he said, you know, when people say they're not attached to time, I get it because I have a reader, a Leslie, who swears that sometimes she can give you dates and other people say the exact date a year later is when it happened. That's why she doesn't love, you know, attaching dates. But when he was talking, I absolutely saw the beginning of the year, end of this year, beginning of next year. So I love that for you. You're not meant to be alone, honey. Not meant to be alone at all. And I do believe pushing things forward, and I think you and I talked about this, and for everybody listening out there, just because I tell you to go on online dating, some people will meet somebody that way, but not everybody. But what it does tell the universe to me and what Chris was saying is you've got to put everything out there to move the energies forward to let love come in any way, shape, or form that it can. So,
I agree. Oh,
yeah.
That was wonderful. Thank you so much, Chris Minopond. I will definitely check you out on your channel. And have a fabulous day, Bonnie, Chris, everybody. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I love hearing from you, Moon Goddess. You are just a goddess, and I want you to always know that.
Hugs and kisses.
Thank you. You too. All right, everyone. All right. I am so excited. Bye. I just want to tell everybody who is hanging on, Chris will be back. He's going to come back hopefully every couple weeks. Chris, you have a million people that are lined up to talk to you. But unfortunately, we have 2 minutes and 14 seconds. I can put somebody on real quick with one question and go over a little bit, but I don't think that it would do you or me, so or the person, because I know you really are into your readings, and that's why I put you on. So I want everybody to that Chris will be back. If you haven't talked to Chris, please come early and get in line for when he comes back. He is excellent. Check him out on his channel. It's Minopond. It is on. He's a big sensation, and when you see him, understand why he stuck out. Spirit brought him to me, and you'll understand why. With the neat, you'll be able to, you know, he has places you can write him. You go to webs and have a reading, and you can also get his reading through YouTube. They're general, but it's, at least when you come here, you can hear him. He also does this for a living. So check out his, I think if it's if they go to Minopond on YouTube, it's minopond.com. Am I correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And you go there and see all the readings and what he has available. And again, he does this for a living, so please check him out. And Chris, I want to thank you. I have like 60 seconds left. I want to tell you, it's an honor to have you. You're a pleasure and a wonderful soul. And I thank you for appearing on our channel, my channel, and for helping anyone that calls and our chatters. I want to thank you. And listeners, I want to thank you also. So again, have a great day. I am not. Tomorrow I have a special show. I want to tell everybody about 3 to 4. I've got Annabelle Miller and Brenda Brand, and I'll be on. It's almost crazy because I never put that kind of show on a Friday, but we're just going to try it. So thanks, everybody. I hope you come join me at 3 o'clock. It is the girls. And, Chris, again, I want to thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And, Chris, I want a reading. Bye.